All right, listeners, ready to dive deep into some really cool AI stuff. You sent this in, and I gotta say, it's fascinating. We're talking about large language models, LLMs, those things that are learning to reason, like actually think things through. It's kind of a big deal,
Yeah,
right?
it really is. This research is from DeepSeek AI, and they're really pushing the boundaries of what LLMs can do.
So we've got the research paper itself, which, full disclosure, I'll admit, was a little dense. And then there's this DeepSeek for Dummies explainer, which is thankfully a bit easier to digest.
Okay.
But okay, let's get to the star of the show, DeepSeek R1. Where did it all begin?
Well, DeepSeek R1 is the result of a ton of research, but the real breakthrough came with its predecessor, DeepSeek R1.0. They trained this model using only reinforcement learning, or RL for short.
Hold on, RL, remind me what that is again?
Okay, so reinforcement learning, it's a type of machine learning where you train an AI by giving it rewards for good behavior, kind of like training a dog. The AI tries different things, gets feedback, and learns what actions lead to the best outcome.
Okay, got it. So instead of feeding it tons of labeled data, they just let DeepSeek R1.0 loose to figure things out on its own.
Exactly. And the results were pretty amazing. They gave it a basic framework. You could call it a thinking template for solving problems, but the rest was up to the AI. And get this, over time, it actually started developing reasoning skills that the researchers hadn't programmed in.
Wow, that's incredible. What kind of reasoning skills are we talking about? Like, what could it actually do?
Well, for example, it could solve some pretty complex math problems. It even outperformed some human experts on standardized tests. But what's even more remarkable is that sometimes the AI would get stuck on a problem, and then it seemed to have this moment of self-reflection. There's actually this quote from the research paper where it says, "Wait, wait, wait, that's an aha moment I can flag here. Let's reevaluate this step by step to identify if the correct sum can be."
No way. It's like it was having a mini epiphany and decided to check its work.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive, and maybe a little spooky too, right?
Yeah.
But you mentioned there were some limitations with DeepSeek R10. What were those?
Yeah, you're right. Despite its impressive reasoning skills, the output could be a little difficult to read and understand. Not very user-friendly, let's just say.
So brilliant, but a bit rough around the edges. And then DeepSeek R1 came along to smooth things out, is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They took everything they learned from R10 and built DeepSeek R1. They used this thing called a multi-stage training approach to improve both its performance and its readability.
Okay, multi-stage training. What does that look like compared to R10's figure it out yourself method?
So the key difference here is that DeepSeek R1 gets a little help at the beginning. They gave it a small amount of what they call cold start data. Think of it like a cheat sheet with some well-structured examples of how to think through problems.
Interesting. So not starting completely from scratch this time, but the reward system, is that still a part of the process?
Absolutely. After the cold start data, they used reinforcement learning, just like with R10. But this time, they focused on rewarding the AI, not just for getting the right answer, but also for explaining its thought process in a clear and concise way.
So they were going for both accuracy and clarity, making sure the AI could solve the problem. A and D, explain how it got there in a way we humans can easily follow.
Precisely. And they actually found that the initial cold start data really helped to improve the model's readability and its overall performance. They actually used DeepSeek V3 base and fine-tuned it with this data before moving on to the RL
So
phase.
a more structured approach, kind of like building a house with a strong foundation. I like that. But what happens after the RL phase?
Well, once the model gets good at reasoning, they used it to actually generate even more training data. It's like a student becoming the master and then teaching the next generation. And this data included all kinds of problems, reasoning, general knowledge, even some creative writing tasks.
Wow, sounds like they really put it through its paces. So DeepSeek R1's a math whiz. A and D, it can write poetry. Color me impressed.
And there's one more step. They did another round of RL, but this time the focus was on aligning the AI even closer to human preferences.
So they're making sure it's not just smart, but also safe and helpful. That's reassuring. But how do we know this whole multi-stage training thing actually works? Did they put DeepSeek R1 to the test?
Oh, definitely. They tested it on all sorts of benchmarks. Think of them as standardized tests for AI. They covered math coding, general knowledge, you name it.
Okay, spill the beans. How'd it do? Give me some highlights.
Well, it got a score of 79.8% on the AME 2024 math exam,
Wow.
which is pretty incredible. And get this, when they use majority voting, which basically means taking the best result out of multiple attempts, it actually hit 86.7%.
Whoa, hold on, the AME. That's a tough exam even for like the top high school students. So this AI is basically a math genius. What about those coding benchmarks? How'd it do on those?
Yeah, crushed those two. On
Yeah.
Codeforce, that platform where programmers compete, it actually beat over 96% of human participants. And on this other benchmark live code bench, it showed off some serious real-world coding skills scored really high.
Okay, so DeepSeek R1 is a mathlete, AND, a master coder. Is there anything this AI can't do? This is blowing my mind. But you know, you mentioned something about smaller models too earlier. How do those fit into all of this?
That's where things get even more interesting. They've been playing around with this technique called distillation. It's like taking all the knowledge and reasoning power of this giant AI model, DeepSeek R1, and transferring it to a smaller, more efficient one.
Okay, I'm trying to picture this. It's like shrinking a supercomputer down to the size of a laptop, but it somehow keeps all its power. How is that even possible?
Well, imagine you're teaching a student everything you know about a subject. You're basically distilling your knowledge into a more compact form.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar with AI. They train a smaller model by feeding it the output and behavior of the bigger, more complex model.
So they're creating like mini DeepSeek R1s. But do these distilled versions actually work as well as the original?
It might surprise you, but yeah, they do. These smaller models are showing some pretty remarkable performance. Some of them are even outperforming larger AI models that haven't been trained for reasoning in the same way.
That's amazing. So we're talking smaller, more accessible AI with the power to reason effectively. That sounds almost too good to be true. There's got to be some sort of trade-off, right?
Well, there's always a balance to be struck. Distillation is super efficient, but we don't really know yet if these smaller models will ever fully match the original model's full potential. It's kind of an ongoing debate in the AI world, you know, efficiency versus ultimate power.
A classic dilemma. It makes you wonder if there's like a limit to how much smartness you can pack into a smaller package. But, you know, I'm also curious about the journey to DeepSeek R1. The research mentioned some dead ends and failed attempts. Tell me what didn't work.
One interesting thing they tried was using a process reward model, or PRM. The idea was to reward the AI not just for the right answer, but for actually following a good reasoning process. Sounds good in theory, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. You want the AI to think logically, step by step. Why didn't it pan out?
Well, it turns out defining and evaluating a good reasoning process is a lot trickier than you might think. Human thought is complicated. Plus, they ran into issues with the AI kind of gaming the system, figuring out how to get rewards without actually learning to reason properly.
So it was being a clever AI, like a student figuring out how to ace a test without really understanding the material. What other approaches didn't work out?
They also tried using this technique called Monte Carlo Tree Search, or MCTS. Mm-hmm. It's this powerful algorithm that's used in game-playing AIs like AlphaGo. The idea was to use MCTS to help the AI explore different reasoning paths and find the best solution.
So basically using something that's good at winning games to help the AI win at reasoning. Interesting. What was the problem there?
The problem is that language is way more complex and messy than a game like Go. You know, the possible paths an AI can take when it's generating text are basically endless. So the search space becomes super difficult to navigate. Plus, they had trouble training the AI's value model, which is the part that judges how good a particular reasoning path is.
So the AI was getting lost in a sea of possibilities, and its internal judge wasn't being very helpful. Sounds like a recipe for confusion. But, you know, these dead ends, they're still valuable in a way, right?
Oh, absolutely. These setbacks are just as important as the successes. They give us valuable insights into what works, what doesn't, and ultimately help us make those breakthroughs in the future.
Totally agree. It's all part of the learning process, right? For both the AI and for us as researchers. But you know, we've been talking a lot of technical details. I want to take a step back and think about the bigger picture here. What does it mean for us, for humanity, that we're building AI that can reason like this?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It really gets to the heart of what AI means for our future. This research is really just the beginning. There are so many other areas of reasoning that researchers are looking into.
Like what? Give me a glimpse into the future of AI reasoning. What other frontiers are out there?
One area I find super fascinating is causal reasoning. Humans are naturally good at understanding cause and effect, but it's really hard to teach an AI to do that.
Right. We just instinctively know that if you drop a glass, it'll probably shatter. But how do you teach that to a machine?
Researchers are experimenting with things like probabilistic graphical models, which are basically diagrams that represent relationships between different variables.
So like a flowchart for cause and effect. Help me visualize how this would work.
Exactly. These models can help AI systems to identify patterns and make inferences about cause and effect, even in really complex situations with tons of variables.
So instead of just seeing correlations, the AI can start to understand the why behind things. That's a huge step. What other types of reasoning are on the horizon?
Another area that's really interesting is moral reasoning. As AI becomes more integrated into our lives, it's inevitably going to run into ethical dilemmas.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. It's like those thought experiments where a self-driving car has to choose between hitting one person or another. How do you program an AI to make those kinds of judgments?
That's a question that philosophers have been debating for centuries, and there's no easy answer. But one promising approach is something called value alignment. Basically, you try to teach the AI to understand and align itself with human values.
So trying to instill a sense of ethics into the AI, that sounds incredibly challenging to say the least. What are some of the real-world applications of AI reasoning right now?
Well, we're already seeing a big impact in scientific research.
Yeah.
AI systems are being used to analyze huge data sets, identify patterns, and even generate hypotheses that human scientists might miss.
So it's like having an AI research assistant helping scientists sift through mountains of data. That's pretty cool.
And it goes beyond just data analysis. AI is also being used to design experiments, speed up drug discovery, and even control robots in complex environments.
It's like having a tireless, caffeine-free lab partner.
Yeah.
What about outside of the lab? Where's AI reasoning being used in everyday life?
One example that a lot of people probably encounter regularly is personalized recommendations.
Yeah.
You know, when you get suggestions for things like products, movies, or music that's often powered by AI, this using reasoning to figure out your preferences and predict what you'll enjoy?
Oh, yeah, those. You might also like suggestions. They can be creepily accurate sometimes. It's like the AI knows me better than I know myself. What other everyday examples are there?
Well, AI is being used more and more in healthcare to personalize treatment plans, predict patient outcomes, and even assist with diagnoses.
So AI could help doctors make more informed decisions, leading to better care for patients. That's a game changer.
Exactly. And it's not just about improving existing processes. AI reasoning is also opening up totally new possibilities. Think about personalized education, where an AI tutor adapts to each student's learning style and pace.
Wow, imagine a world where every student has a customized learning experience tailored to their specific needs. It could completely revolutionize education as we know it. What other fields are being impacted?
AI reasoning is also making waves in finance, where it's being used to detect fraud, assess risk, and make investment decisions.
So potentially a world with less financial crime and smarter investments. I like where this is going. But I
Yep.
gotta ask about the elephant in the room jobs. A lot of people are worried that AI is gonna replace human workers. How do you address those concerns?
It's true that some tasks that are currently done by humans will probably be automated by AI, but it's important to remember that AI is a tool. It's up to us to decide how we use it.
I like that perspective. Instead of fearing AI, we should focus on how to use it to enhance our capabilities and create new opportunities.
Exactly.
Just like with previous technological revolutions, AI will definitely create new jobs and industries that we can't even imagine yet.
It's all about adapting and evolving alongside the technology. But let's be real for a second. There are going to be some bumps along the way. What are some of the potential downsides or risks we need to be aware of as AI reasoning gets more advanced?
One concern that comes up a lot is the issue of access. Training these powerful AI models requires massive amounts of data and computing power, which are resources that are often only available to large organizations.
So AI research can become a game that only the wealthy can play. That's a bit unsettling. What can we do to level the playing field?
One approach is to develop more efficient training techniques that need less data and computing power, essentially finding ways to do more with less.
Sounds like a win-win to me. Less resource intensive and more accessible. What else can be done?
Promoting open source collaboration and data sharing is really important. The more we can share knowledge and resources, the better.
Right, breaking down those silos and democratizing access to this tech. I like it. And of course, we need to invest in education and training. We need to equip a diverse range of people with the skills to participate in the development and application of AI.
Education is always key. Democratizing knowledge will ensure that the benefits of AI are shared widely and the technology is developed and used responsibly. But before we move on, I want to highlight something you mentioned earlier. The DeepSeek team actually made those distilled models open source.
That's right. Anyone can download them and experiment with this incredible technology. It's not just about big tech companies developing AI behind closed doors.
I love that. It's about empowering individuals and communities to explore and shape the future of AI. It's incredibly exciting.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing to think that these incredibly powerful tools are becoming more and more accessible to everyday people.
It's like we're giving everyone the power of a supercomputer if they've got the curiosity and the, willingness to learn. It's definitely a game changer. But something's been on my mind this whole time.
Oh, really? What is it?
Well, we've been geeking out about the technical stuff about AI reasoning and how it's going to revolutionize everything. But I think it's important to, you know, take a step back and look at the bigger picture. What does it actually mean for humanity that we're building machines that can think and reason like we do?
That's the big question, isn't it? We're not just talking about code and algorithms here. We're talking about like the essence of what it means to be human.
Exactly. It brings up all these questions about, you know, who we are, our place in the universe, and our relationship with these machines that are getting smarter all the time. Are we just creating tools to make ourselves smarter? Or are we starting something completely new where machines will eventually become more intelligent than us in ways we can't even imagine?
It's both exciting and a little bit scary, right? Like we're standing at the edge of something vast and unknown.
I think the key is to approach it all with a sense of wonder and responsibility. You know, we need to think about the consequences of what we're doing and make sure that AI is developed and used in a way that benefits everyone.
Yeah, it's definitely a balancing act, but I think we can do it. We've faced similar challenges throughout history, right?
Mm-hmm.
The printing press, the Industrial Revolution, the internet, each one brought its own set of opportunities and risks.
And every time we've managed to adapt and shape the technology to our needs, I believe we can do the same with AI.
I agree. It's not about being afraid of the future, but about actively shaping it. It's about having these important discussions, making good decisions, and working together to make sure AI is a force for good in the world.
That's a great point. So this deep dive has been an amazing journey, and I hope it's made everyone listening think a little deeper. We've explored the technical side, the practical applications, and even the philosophical implications. And honestly, I think we've only scratched the surface. There's still so much more to learn as this field keeps advancing at lightning speed.
I encourage everyone to keep learning, asking questions, and being a part of the conversation about how we shape the future of AI, because it's a future that we're all creating together.
That's a perfect way to wrap things up. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of AI reasoning. Until next time, stay curious and keep those brains buzzing.